We don't want just another name to add into our cell phone. We want somebody that we know is going to be there with us through thick and thin. So the relational component is key. And the second thing is, and this is countercultural, but it's going to sound odd when I say it, we challenge a man to be a real man. We don't make it easy. Everybody else is trying to make it easier, quicker. Yeah, watch this video series and we'll go to McDonald's and we'll meet once a month and talk about life. Okay, that's easy to get in, but it doesn't transform anybody's life. And half the time, those guys don't show up at McDonald's. We say, look, this is tough. Are you man enough to do it? And we give a guy every reason not to do it. I don't know. Are you man enough to take that mountain? Because, man, that's a steep climb. You sure you want to do this? And there's something inside the heart of a man that goes, dadgummit, I'm going to show you I can do this.
Welcome to the Throwing Mountains podcast, where men rediscover courageous leadership and draw strength from stories of God working in the lives of ordinary men today. Men who've become leaders in their spheres of influence by relying on God and following Jesus. I'm podcast co-host Chris Bollinger. When Mike Hatch and I started this podcast in the summer of 2021, our primary goal was to provide a set of resources for a men's ministry that had had a huge positive impact on us. That ministry is CLC, once known as Christian Leadership Concepts, and now known as Christ-Led Communities. Over the 3 years of the podcast, we've interviewed quite a few men who, like Mike and me, have had their lives transformed by CLC. Today's episode is excerpts from four of those interviews. You'll hear from Hal Haddon, who started CLC in 1982 and steered the ministry for its first 30 years, Dan Narwald, who had never experienced CLC until he started a CLC group shortly after he moved from California to Florida, Pedro Martinez, whose experience in CLC inspired him to lead the ministry's effort to reach Spanish-speaking men across the U.S. and throughout Latin America, and Craig Fry, who took the baton from Hal Haddon and led the ministry until recently when Scott Caldwell became the new president. These interview excerpts will reveal why, in an era where many men's ministries and many Christian men are struggling, CLC is thriving. Let's begin by hearing from CLC's founder, Dr. Hal Haddon.
You had a great experience in Young Life, came to faith, worked the camp. You were on staff for 10 years, you said, and then you come to Nashville. And then you said that you decided to do a men's ministry. You decided to start CLC. That's a big change. So can you walk us through how that happened?
Well, as I mentioned, when I was in seminary, I went to be a pastor, and clearly God closed the door on that. And that's another story. And so I began to look around and to say, you know, what could I do? And I think sometimes it's just, that's the starting point. I tend to think we want this big vision. Here's where God's taking me. But I think it starts back with, you know, what can I do? Idea, and be realistic about that. And I had a fellow from Knoxville, and he had a ministry that was more adult friendship evangelism with an apologetic approach. And I don't think I had the gift of evangelism, nor am I a great apologist. So, but he had this ministry, and he basically said, Hal, you can go anywhere you want to and make anything you want to, basically. And I thought that's pretty good. And so I picked Nashville because of Vanderbilt so I could work on my degree. And then my dad wasn't doing real well and is kind of close to Knoxville. And so I came here to do that. And but he had a ministry that did that evangelism and apologetics. And so I said, I can start that because it's kind of like Young Life. It's kind of not. It's with men. It's with couples. It's with adults. And so I thought I could probably do that. And I came to Nashville with a U-Haul and a wife and three kids, and one kid was nursing. And I pull up to my house that I bought, and I can't unload it by myself. And I had, I think at that point, I had $850 a month support, and nobody invited me. Nobody's waiting for me. And, you know, that's the definition of stupidity or faith. And so I did call the Young Life office, and they sent three guys out to help me unload the truck. And so I began to network around, and I am a networker, and I'd have lunch with guys and I'd do whatever to just meet people. And so I started the ministry there with the evangelism and apologetics, and it worked pretty well because, you know, it's kind of in line with what I'd done in my training in seminary and that sort of thing. But one day, I was at their staff conference, and it's actually down in New Orleans. And you know how guys get together and we kind of sniff each other out. How are you doing? You have two groups. This guy has one group. This guy has three groups with the ministry that I was doing. So you kind of compare yourself to one another. And so you feel good or bad, whichever one. And so one guy said, most of them said, I'm doing one or two groups. And this one guy said, I'm doing 10. And I said, 10? How in the world do you are you doing 10 groups? And I guess I pulled him over on the side or whatever. And he said, well, I train leaders. And I thought, well, that's what I did in Young Life. I trained leaders, and they led Young Life clubs, and I led a Young Life club, but I trained them. And so I said, tell me more about your training, because I'd like to train some guys to do one of these evangelistic apologetic approach. And he put four guys in a group for 2.5 years, and he would train them, and then they'd start one of these groups that lasted 7 weeks. And so I thought, that sounded good. I'm going to put something together like that. So I began to work on that. And then one day, being relational, some of these guys that I had met, I said, I'm having a luncheon, and I'm going to tell you about a program I'm putting together, and I'd love for you to come join with me in that. And so we get together, and I say, guys, what I'm doing is I'm going to put together this 2-year program experience. I don't like the word program, but experience, that's going to meet for 2 years. It's a 2-year commitment. It meets from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. one morning a week, and you're going to have some homework. And I said, here are probably the topics that we'll cover in those 2 years. Guys, I need to tell you, I'll be 1 week ahead of you in preparation, and we'll do this together with the five of us together. And so I don't believe in putting pressure on people. I feel they're fully capable of letting God lead them. They need to know what they're getting in on. I didn't want to sell them on it. I didn't want to cover up anything. I just want, here's what it is. If you feel led to do it, fine. If not, fine. I love you anyway. And I actually had an 8.5, 11 note or paper, and it blew. And that became a little word we'd use, the blue sheets. And so I sent them that, and I said, I'm going to give you 3 weeks to pray about it and fill that in if you want to do it, mail it back. And I asked people, said, how many do you think out of those 25 did this? And they had one lawyer, had one doctor, one pharmacist, a couple of salesmen, insurance salesmen, all kinds of, had one guy in ministry. And I say, how many do you think out of that 25 did it? And they, you know, they say whatever. And I say, 18 did it. And they say 18. And I was shocked. What in the world am I going to do with 18 guys? And like, I'm over my head, and I've oversold this or whatever. I overcalled people, whatever. I don't know. And so I decided to start two groups, and one on Friday morning and one on Monday morning. And there was a group that kind of went to one church where I went. So that was one group. Another group was a cross section of guys. And we started, and I was 1 week ahead of them. And it's kind of interesting that I had one guy in that group said, Hal, you've done one of these evangelism apologetic series in our home with these couples, and that was pretty good. And you've counseled me and my wife, and my doctorate's in counseling. And he said, Hal, this is more your deal than those two deals. And when he said that, I knew it. And again, it was, we saw some success there, saw some adults come to the Lord. But what became CLC had some qualities that were kind of in my wheelhouse, the long-termness, promoting a 7-week deal, and it's over in 7 weeks. And I got to go with a little rah-rah, get this next deal going. I'm not a big rah-rah person. So I like the 2 year where I didn't have to sell it, so to speak. I like going deeper in men's lives. Here's an atmosphere where you can be real. I'm going to love you. We can look at the word together and we go deeper in the word. And so it was a real fit for the way God had wired me. So I wish I could tell people that I was this great visionaire and I had this idea of CLC. I really kind of backed into it. And I believe that's where if we start somewhere, God will begin to open doors to do more what he has for us. So I'm big on people. Let's get started. And so CLC started with two groups, Friday morning and Monday morning. I will add this. The word spread. And the next year we started two more groups. And so I had four mornings at 6 a.m. and I'm not a morning person. So that had to be a God thing. And then the wives of the men in the first two groups, some of them wanted to do something. So my wife, Linda, and I did a 9-month Wednesday from like 10 to 12 at our house doing that. So I had this 5 days a week and loved it.
I like the fact that you got feedback from somebody who said, you know, this is really in your wheelhouse. And then you realized it was true. I think sometimes we look for God to give us direct feedback, and he does. But when somebody else says something, sometimes that clicks and we realize that that's actually God affirming us through that other person.
Yeah. Well, that's a good point. And I really believe a role of the church is to help call one another out to go do works. And so part of it is to try it and to give good feedback of encouragement and where they see you succeeding, to use that word, but where you get joy. And so all of those kind of come together, then the Holy Spirit kind of intersects with that and leads you a direction. But I just think most of the time, many people wait and for this great wisdom, great insight, and they need to just get started and get going. And so I'm, and you know, that's part of CLC, frankly, in our leadership retreat. Part of that is to affirm one another of what we've seen and observed in their life, and then encourage them in that direction. Plus, we do gift tests, for a better word, and to help discern where God is calling the person. And I believe that's truly a role of the church, body of believers.
That's a great point. I think so many people get stuck, like you said, analysis paralysis, if you will, waiting for that big word from God, when he really calls us to be faithful in the little things. Just take those little steps toward obedience and faithfulness to him, get feedback from others, allow them to speak into our lives, those we trust and love the Lord, and God will guide and he will open up opportunities.
He said, I just taught, I lead a Bible study every Tuesday morning for lots of years. And I just taught the last couple of weeks is one. The first point is I can do that. The second one, I get to do that. The third one, I want to do that. And the fourth one is I must do that. So it goes from opportunity down to my gifts, to my passion, to my calling.
Next, we'll hear from Dr. Dan Narwold, who is an anesthesiologist.
You had a good church in California. You went through a great experience. You had a counselor for a time, entered a new stage of your life, got married, and started a family. And then you went to Florida and you started CLC. So what prompted those big changes? Because you mentioned before we started that you had the chance to do a CLC group out in California and you said no. Then you got to the great state of Florida and everything changed. So to walk us through that, you know, what led you to Florida and what led you to make the decision to do a CLC group?
Yeah, so I was introduced to CLC by a gentleman from Ohio who had gone to California and had joined our church. And at a men's retreat, he kind of plugged this curriculum. All right. It was at the time, Christian Leadership Concepts, now Christ-Led Communities, but he had plugged this at a men's retreat and the all-in group specifically. And he had kind of added in that he had felt called really, yes, he was going through a job change and sorts, but he also felt called to come to California to bring this curriculum out there. And I thought, does that happen? Is that a thing, Lord? Because that's, you know, I kind of grew up in more of a traditional church, kind of stand up, sit down, keep your head down. Like, is the Holy Spirit moving in those ways? Okay, who is this guy? So I said, you know, when it was presented to me, I said, 2 years, whew, 2 years. No, but how about my friend? Why don't you try him? And here's another friend. So two of my good friends ended up doing it and had an amazing time with it. And meanwhile, there was a seed planted somewhere in my heart, placed deep within, definitely on my mind. The move to Florida, my mom is a widow now. My parents stayed together my whole life, but then my dad died and she was in Florida alone. And really through God, around 35,000 feet in an airplane, my wife and I, coming back from Florida on a visit, we looked at each other and said, we're moving to Florida. And that was kind of it. That was one of those kind of lightning bolt Holy Spirit moments, with the motivation to take care of my mom and wife's full support in that. So we got here, plugged into a local church, have the benefit that my mom actually attends that. So that's a beautiful thing. And I got introduced to a couple men in the church, fired up about men's ministry. We ended up doing a retreat, which the church hadn't done in quite some time. And then just was hungry for more and just felt this like momentum going forward. There's a few men. I know there's more. I don't know this church all that well, but I know this curriculum of CLC and I know it's changed lives and it's been very impactful for many men. Let's go with it and talk to the senior pastor. He was a yes man. He looked at the curriculum for a day or so and said, absolutely. So I had that support. And basically I contacted CLC headquarters, had a man by the name of Lee kind of guide me through the process of getting the group going.
And Lee is the, by the way, in case anybody's wondering, we just interviewed him a few episodes ago and Lee Gerstenberger is who you're talking about. And we affectionately refer to him as the godfather of CLC, just to make sure you knew that. So
good godfather, not the
that's right,
Marlon
yes.
Brando godfather.
Yeah, right. He's the godfather that like impacts the guy in Ohio that then goes to California,
right?
And shares it in California, right, Dan? And then it plants a seed in you. You go to Florida, and again, his whole idea of business tree. He thinks he's there for some, you know, reason, but God has other more profound, deeper, transcendent reasons. So anyway, continue.
Yeah. Oh, it's unbelievable how God connects these things. And really, I mean, just the planting of that small seed and, it's unbelievable how it's grown and how now I've led, seven other brothers through a group. And that's what we did. So our group is a little unique because we got going right in the midst of COVID. So there were some challenges associated with that, but we were able to meet in person. There were eight guys and started summertime of 2020 and just finished up last month.
Wow.
So Dan, we rarely actually get into any kind of detail on CLC on this CLC podcast, which which management has had a talk with us about. But can you describe all in to our audience? Because I don't think, Mike, we've ever really, other than giving the name of it and saying that it lasts for 2 years and it's, you know, a very in-depth program, we really don't talk about it. So can you give like a 3-minute overview of, you know, what is all in? What happens? What do you guys do? Mm-hmm. Describe the program and a typical Friday morning meeting or Monday, you know, Monday night meeting or whenever you guys met.
Yeah. Yeah. It's one of the hardest things to describe.
Sorry about that.
Because it's It's a Bible study. It's a leadership program. It's a discipleship opportunity. It's a worship set. It's all these things, but it's none of these things. It's, you know, it's, and some of this is from the curriculum itself that I'm going to just tell you about, but it's,
yeah,
it's a platform growing men and equipping them for a lifetime of leadership. And it really does. It challenges men to this uncommon pursuit of Jesus Christ. It is all about relationships. Relationships are foundational. Jesus was a relationship guy. I mean, God himself on earth was all about the relationships. Those are put above any goals, any agendas. It's got, and this is the best, the bottom line, the foundation, the cornerstone. Completely biblical foundation. And there's a lot of things out there right now that'll confuse you and, oh, is that out of the Bible? What? No, this is a completely biblical foundation. It's so good. There's never, in my 2 years, there was never a question of like, oh, is that a little taken out of context? Is that a little, no, it's, they hit the big biblical foundations. And I love that about it. It requires vulnerability, confidentiality. Those are two huge, huge aspects. There were multiple times I heard brothers saying, this is the first time I've ever shared such and such. So there's just this development of deep interpersonal relationships with other Christian men. You're going to have lifelong friendships. You're going to be equipped to lead others towards Christ. Your spiritual maturity is going to grow. And the concept of discipleship, if you've never even thought about that word or what it means, I mean, God asks us to make disciples, not make converts, but make disciples. So you'll learn about what that even means and how you go about that. Why the 2 years? Well, it takes time. It takes time to develop these things. This is not an overnight thing with Jesus. I mean, your salvation, yes, okay. Today, I accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior. My salvation is secure. But the rest, it takes years, a lifetime, so to speak. The weekly meetings, they're 2 hours in duration, and they go along with like a homework curriculum. So you'll have some weekly assignments to do. And you meet, you kind of discuss what you did in the homework. You'll have some supplemental reading for some from excellent books, excellent authors that go along with the reading. And there's these 12 modules you work through, and they work through some big aspects of life. So just looking at the foundation of who Jesus is, looking at Bible study, teaching, praying, engaging your culture, friendships, serving your family, the marketplace, your business, apologetics, money. How do we deal with finances from a godly standpoint, discipleship, and finally leadership? So you hit these big things. And it's the weekly meetings are a time where you can really just open up as men. And we don't do that well. You know, I remember the plug for CLC from the gentleman who went to California and brought it out there. He said, I was tired of turning around in church and shaking a guy's hand. And that was it. That was it. And I think to some degree, all men who are in the church community or have been associated with church in some degree can relate to that statement. And these weekly meetings for 2 years, you're going to know these men in and out. You're going to know things that their wives don't even know. Their parents don't know about them. Their close friends don't know about them.
And they're going to know you. And that sounds very intimidating, but it's actually such a huge blessing because, you know, to have other men know a lot about you that you haven't shared with somebody else, and they still care for you. And they pray for you and they support you and they've got your back and they'll be there at 3 a.m. if the wheels come off. That's huge. And frankly, the vast majority of men don't have any men in their lives who really know them and are there for them. A key partner for the Throwing Mountains podcast is the men's ministry CLC, Christ-Led Communities. CLC strives to build authentic community through the uncommon pursuit of Christ.
and it has had an incredible impact on the lives of tens of thousands of men, including Mike Hatch and me. If you're like most men, then you have many male acquaintances, but few, or even no, trusted male friends. With CLC, you'll join with other men around the person and work of Jesus Christ, and powerful things will happen. You'll see masks removed and honest brotherhood begin. CLC is much more than a Bible study. It's a relational pathway that equips men for a lifetime of biblically based leadership. For more information, go to clchq.org or email Mike Hatch at mhatch@clchq.org. Next up is an excerpt from our interview with Pedro Martinez, who leads CLC's effort to reach Spanish-speaking men. What attracted you to CLC? I mean, we've heard your personal
great
story.
Question.
So, you know, you had your encounter with Christ, right. transformed your life.
Yeah.
You got out in the open and you had to kind of reshape yourself or rebuild yourself, right? I mean, you had to become an authentic person and stop hiding, stop building the walls.
Right.
But that was 14 years ago, I think. And you came to CLC fairly recently. So with the new Pedro, with the authentic Pedro now,
yes.
What attracted you to CLC? Why did you want to be a part of a ministry that was working with men?
I launched a church in 2016.
Okay.
2016, you know, we had already gone to set, you know, you have done all the list that approves you to be a pastor.
Right.
You go to seminary, you take all those classes, you're Pentecostal, now you for sure you speak in tongues and all those things, you know?
Right.
So 2016, we launched our church, and around 2018, we were just trying to grow the church. I mean, it felt great. You know, we went, you know, hardcore into full throttle into this ministry, right?
And so, it's a multicultural church, right? That's what you said.
At that time, it was only Spanish. At that time, yeah, the multicultural came after. But at that time, it was only Spanish. And we got blessed us in a way that was just crazy. We couldn't find a place, and there was a synagogue about 10-15 minutes from my house.
Mm-hmm. So, a Jewish synagogue.
And I just went in there and I said, knocked at the door one day and I said, listen, I'm a pastor of a church and I need a place to worship. I cannot find, nobody wants to rent to us. That's the truth. Not because we cannot pay, it's just their ideals are different. Will you allow us to worship here? And she just started laughing. She said, are you aware where you are? And I'm like, I am. I am very aware. What the worst thing you can say to me is no. 2 weeks after, she calls back and she said, this is what the rabbi said. The rabbi said, and I'm going to read it to you, that he feels in his heart that he needs to allow you to worship here.
Wow.
Listen, for 3.5 years, we worship at that synagogue.
Wow.
It was an amazing experience. So we saw God moving. We saw God allowing us to be part of the synagogue itself. We were just, it was such a great relationship. And in 2019, I felt that all those 3 years that I involved myself, I submerged myself into ministry. So everything was about ministry, about church. And then the little time that I had, then it was, okay, family, my wife, my kids. Mm-hmm. And I lost myself in ministry. Mm-hmm. I wasn't sinning. I wasn't doing anything. I just lost myself in ministry. I would feed from the positive and I would feed as well for the negative. Mm-hmm. So I acquired this persona, and by 2019 I was like, man, I need something. Hmm. You know, I was tired. I still need guidance. I was just struggling so much, and that's when I met George. Dr. Cope. And we just hit it off, man. I met in an event and we just started conversating. And at that moment he says, I know what you need. And he says, give me 2 years, one day per week. And I'm like, sir, as it is, I don't have time for myself. And he's like, 2 years, give me 2 years every Wednesday, 6:30 in the morning. And I said, all right, let's do it. I got there that morning. There were six guys. I was number seven and didn't know what to expect. Never done anything like that before. But one thing I noticed, it was that when you walk into that room, you didn't brought in your titles. Mm. You didn't brought in who you were or what you were doing. You got there like a man. You were just another guy in the room. And that's how I was introduced to CLC. I did All In. Mm. And I got a simple thing as this. I in 2016, 2015, I said I wanted to read a book a month. That was one thing. I wanted to read a book a month. I didn't even have time for that. Because I was thinking I gotta preach. So I gotta get right. ready for the sermon. So you become all the reading you do is stores a sermon. Mm-hmm. There's a little time you got for yourself to enjoy good reading, just to refresh, just to enrich that. CLC gave me that. Because if you do All In, you know that every 45 days, you get to do a different book. Mm-hmm. So as simple as that, it came at the right time and it gave me something that I was looking for in a different environment. Mm. Now, I'm the only Hispanic sitting there. So when you sit there, not even that counts. Because it didn't matter if you were white or I was Hispanic. We were all men sitting in there, you know? So, yeah, that's how I got introduced to CLC, did the 2 years, went through COVID on that. So we're still meeting through Zoom. I mean, you know, it did change my life. If you ask my wife, she'd tell you that. She said that she would push me off the bed because, you know, it was 45 minutes away.
And oh, wow. At 6:30 in the morning, you had to leave the house at 5:45.
That's right.
That's not me.
Wow.
I'm telling you. So there were days that she would just push me off, say, you got to go. And I'm like, five more minutes. I know you need to wake up and go now. So I think that played a big part of me finishing. The fact that she showed the need and she understood that was important for my season at that moment. So when Lee called.
I was going to clarify that's Lee Gerstenberger.
Yes, yes.
The godfather of CLC. we just want to make sure. He loves when we use that term. Oh, yeah.
All right, yeah, I'm sure.
So when the goal.
Yeah, we.
Call, you don't turn down that call, right? So when Lee called, it's like, well, that's it, man. This man is calling this. You cannot just. What is he going to say? I'm going to make you an offer you can't refuse. Yeah,
that's what he said to me.
So I got this thing. I got this saying that every time I feel my baby's jumping, I know it's God's moment. You know, the Bible said when Mary met Elizabeth and you know, the baby jumped, they realized that there was something going on. So when I feel within me that baby's jumping and I'm sorry for the men that will feel kind of insulted by that, but you know,
dude, I've never heard anything like that before, but that's going to be my new statement of feeling the baby jumping.
You know, so
that's amazing, Pedro. Sorry. That just,
so when they say, hey, this is what we're thinking. We don't know how it looks like, but we wanted to do it. We wanted to start moving forward. Would you be interested of being part of this? And I'm like, listen, man, it changed my life. I know a lot of Hispanic pastors and brothers that need something like this. It won't be easy, but I love the challenge. So I say yes. I came home. I told my family about it. They got even more excited because they understood what CLC did to me. So that's how I was introduced.
We'll finish this episode with an excerpt from our interview with Craig Fry, who was CLC president for 11 years. Obviously, God's blessing the ministry, but what do you think CLC is offering to men that is capturing men in an era where not only are men's ministries not doing well, men are not doing well in the church?
I think we've struck a chord on two major fronts. Number one, it is uniquely relational. We are not curriculum driven. The curriculum just provides the train tracks. The engine of the train is men's hunger to be known and to know other men, not just acquaintances, but buddies that you can call at 2 o'clock in the morning and not be rejected. Now, typically, if you call somebody at 2 o'clock in the morning, it's not to share good news.
Right.
I mean, you're in a crisis. So who can you call? And I've often said that my CLC guys, I could call them and say, I need you in my driveway at 5 o'clock this morning, and I'm too embarrassed to tell you why. And every single man would be there.
Right.
Wow. Gosh.
I don't know of any other ministry that can say that. Mm-hmm. But it's because you spend a long time getting to know one another. We don't want just another name to add into our cell phone. We want somebody that we know is going to be there with us through thick and thin. Hmm. So the relational component is key. And the second thing is, and this is countercultural, but it's going to sound odd when I say it, even more so than when you think it. We challenge a man to be a real man. We don't make it easy. Everybody else is trying to make it easier, quicker. Just, yeah, watch this video series and we'll go to McDonald's and we'll meet once a month and talk about life. Okay, that's easy to get in, but it doesn't transform anybody's life. And half the time, those guys don't show up at McDonald's.
That's right.
So we say, look, this is tough. Are you man enough to do it? And we give a guy every reason not to do it. It's almost like we try to talk him out of it. I don't know. Are you man enough to take that mountain? Because, man, that's a steep climb. You sure you want to do this? Mm. And there's something inside the heart of a man that goes, dadgummit, I'm going to show you I can do this. Mm. We went through a rebranding several years ago. I think, Chris, you were part of that process. Yeah. We went through this rebranding process, and this marketing firm said, there's one thing you don't need to lose under any circumstances. Do not lose the call to commitment. That's tough, that makes it tough to join. Do not lose that because that's part of your secret sauce. So we've been using that phrase, secret sauce, to talk about the two things I just did, the relational component and the high level of commitment. So are we for everybody? I'd like to think we are, but the reality is probably not. We're not for every man because not every man will step up.
Yeah.
But for those who do, but for those men that are tired of just sitting in the stands watching the game, they want to get out of the stands and get on the field where it's more fun, CLC is for that man.
Yeah, and one of the things I love, and you mentioned this previously, how you've expanded the curriculum of CLC. And being a pastor myself, and maybe it's also a product of you being a pastor as well, Craig, and as I talk to other pastors, is what it provides is it does provide this process or kind of track to go through. So another men's pastor in the West Allegheny area, West Hills of Pittsburgh, who started CLC there for his men's discipleship, he starts with Getting Real. And now he just graduated guys from the Getting Real content and now is about to jump into Next Steps, I believe is the next, which is perfect. And then of course you've got All In, which is the 2 year, which is very robust and a much heavier lift. But by that point in time, you've got these relationships with men and you've been instilled with the CLC DNA that you're really ready to step up to that. But I think that's a huge feature for CLC in my mind, especially for pastors and churches.
It's massive. And I do want to applaud the efforts of your co-host, Chris.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because Chris authored the curriculum for us, the Getting Real curriculum, and it lets guys dip their toe in the water. So follow this analogy. The two-year program, which is outstanding, and it's our hallmark program, and I hope every man would do it. It is a very deep dive, but it's like asking a guy who has never been to a swimming pool to jump off the high dive.
Hmm. Yeah, it's great analogy.
I've never been in a swimming pool. I don't own swimming trunks, and you want me to jump off the high dive. Yeah. That may be too much. So Getting Real is, okay, look, let's go to the store. Let's buy a bathing suit and get in the shallow end of the pool. This is called water.
That's right.
And then you get used to water, you get into the deep end, and then you go, hey, it looks fun going off that high dive. Let's do that. Hmm. I do want to mention just real quickly, put in a plug for pastors. Mm-hmm. Pastors, the beauty of the CLC program is we work in tandem with you and your leadership. Mm-hmm. We do not come in from the outside and take over your men's ministry. We're here as a resource, and we work for you. Mm-hmm. So we keep you informed every step of the way, and we work at your behest. And so I want pastors to feel comfortable. We have no secrets, no agenda. We're not looking to be in your budget. We just want to bless men's lives. If CLC can be a blessing to the men in your church, then please give us a call, because there are literally no strings attached. Yep. None. Look, I'm a pastor. Mike, you're a pastor. You know what it's like. You got to be protective of the flock, right? Yep. I don't know these guys. I want to make sure the curriculum is in alignment with our theology, and you know they're not going to do weird stuff. Look, let's have the conversation, because we are no threat. If any, we just want to be a blessing.
Yeah, and there was a pastor I spoke to here in Pittsburgh at a church, and one of the things he said, and CLC's really taken off in his church, he said that he likes that it's a plug and play kind of thing. He doesn't have to do anything. He said it tells the men what to do. He said sometimes as pastors, we overthink things or try to complicate things or want to reinvent the wheel ourselves. But for him, it was super valuable to just be able to hand this over to their men and let them run with it. So I agree. We got to think about it as pastors. We have to think about it as being a way to actually take pressure off of you as the pastor.
Yeah. You know, I mentioned the 2 o'clock in the morning phone call earlier. So pastor, what if you didn't have to field the call at 2 o'clock in the morning? Mm-hmm. What if other men who are serving as facilitators of men's groups in your church, what if they fielded the call at 2 o'clock in the morning and then they called you at 7:30 when you were having your first cup of coffee and said, hey, I worked through this with Billy Bob and I suggest you reach out to him. But that guy fielded the call at 2 a.m, not the pastor.
Amen.
Craig, I'd like to ask you about something. I don't think we've talked about it on this show before, and we've been doing this for 2.5 years. CLC has been around for over 40 years, and a lot of men's ministry has been around for a while, but there's been a lot of development, a lot of activity under your tenure for the past 11 years. And a lot of times when we talk to somebody about doing CLC, what we find is that it's reaching guys of different ages. So it's not just for the old men, right? So you'll have a group, and the guest that Mike mentioned, the initial group that they had guys from their 20s to their 70s. Can you talk a little bit about the dynamics of that in a church? Because I don't think you have a lot of that going on in churches. I mean, my church experience, and I've been, you know, in church my whole life, is you tend to hang out with people who are like you, right? So when you're a young married, you hang out with young married. When you're an older married with kids, you know, teenage kids, you hang out with the teenage parents. So how does CLC do that, and what are the dynamics of a group where you have men of different ages and experiences?
Let me tell you about one of the coolest groups that I've ever seen. And I believe it was in your area of the country, Mike, where this group was started. A dad and his son decided to start a CLC group. Hmm. And so the dad recruited 4 of his friends, his age, And the son recruited four of his friends the son's age.
That's amazing.
And so now you've got a group of men in their 50s and a group of men in their 20s, and they came together because the two co-facilitators were from that age group. And it was the coolest thing ever when they would compare notes. And they would go through a study. Let's say it's on how to create a budget for your family, because that's one of the things we talk about in our two-year program. Well, the budgetary needs of the 50-year-olds for their family was far different than the budgetary needs of the family, a guy that's just getting started in his mid to late 20s. And then they're comparing notes, and the older guys would say, you know, I remember that too. And here's one thing that helped me. You know, if you just think 20 years down the road, I know it's hard to do because all you're worried about now is getting diapers from the grocery store. But put aside this amount of money for this cause. And I mean, it was the coolest. And I got to sit in on this and see them share their wisdom. And then the younger guys would share struggles from their age group that the 50-year-olds go, man, that is so weird because life wasn't anything like that when I was in my 20s. And now it is. I mean, the guys in the 50s, they didn't have cell phones. Right. There were no cell phones. I mean, you sent faxes. You didn't send text. It was so fascinating to see those. So anyway, identifying the co-facilitator is the key to the makeup of the group. If you want younger men in a group, then get younger facilitators. And CLC will help you identify those facilitators. You want older guys? Find older facilitators. If you want a mixed group, do that.
Yeah.
And the same goes, I mean, racial divisions can be healed. If you have an African-American co-facilitator and paired up with a Hispanic facilitator, cool. What if you had three facilitators and you had a Hispanic facilitator, an African-American facilitator, and an Anglo facilitator? And they're all in one group, and each one of them gets 2 to 3 friends. Would that be cool? Well, guess what? That it happens. It works. Yeah.
If you enjoyed this highlights episode, then I encourage you to listen to the 4 full episodes from which I pulled excerpts. They are episode 27, Leadership, Relationships, and the History of CLC with Dr. Hal Haddon, episode 48, All In on Men's Discipleship with Dr. Dan Narwald, episode 51, Men's Discipleship Among the Hispanic Community with CLC National Hispanic Director Pedro Martinez, and episode 155, Challenging Men to Pursue Relational Discipleship with CLC President Craig Frye. Thanks for listening to the Throwing Mountains Podcast.